Milk Minute, Milk Minute, Milk Minute, yeah!
Milk.
This is Maureen Farrell.
And Heather O'Neill.
And this is the Milk Minute.
We're midwives and lactation professionals,
bringing you the most up-to-date evidence for all things lactation,
so you can feel more confident about feeding your baby,
body positivity,
relationships,
and mental health.
Plus, we laugh a little or a lot along the way.
So join us for another episode. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to the Milk Minute Podcast.
Maureen was just telling me about her vaginal discharge, so you're just in time.
I was just saying that my baby is 7 months old now, and I feel like I'm ovulating, so...
Such a midwife thing to know.
I think I'm probably going to get my period back soon.
Yeah, well, whenever you see that slippery little snail trail, it's a pretty good indication.
Yeah, it just feels a little bit different for the past couple days, so...
Just wrap your tools, everyone.
Anyway, my vaginal discharge aside, today we're talking about something that has nothing to do with that.
Aw.
Sorry. I wanted to talk about some more myths, but today about bottle feeding myths and not breastfeeding myths.
Bottle feeding for breast milk or bottle feeding in general?
Kind of both. So I tried to pick myths that were sort of ubiquitous, whether or not it's formula or breast milk, and that people just love to repeat regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But typically things that people like to say to you when they're like, maybe you should just pump and bottle feed.
Yeah. Or is this like when you are at a cafe and you look over and you see somebody feeding 8 ounces of breast milk in a bottle and you're like, is that what I should be doing?
Anyway, so we're going to get into it today a little bit. But before we do that...
Today's question is from Kelsey Conklin. She says, hi, is there anyone that went back to work and only breastfed in the morning and evening before bed and used formula to feed baby while at daycare? Not sure if that schedule is even possible or if I would start to dry up. My supply has been struggling since pumping back at work, and we need to supplement with formula anyway. So I'm wondering if it's easier or even possible to switch to only AM and PM feeds.
So the answer to that is not straightforward. Yes, a lot of people have done that and not had a problem with their supply. But for the most part, when I've seen that work, it's after 6 months or particularly after a year. Now, can it work before then? Yes. Can I promise it's going to work before then? No. And most often, if your baby is like 12 weeks old or 4 months old, if you don't pump during the day and just formula feed during the day, we do see a steady decline in milk supply. However, I don't know you. I can't predict what's going to happen with your body. So it's hard to say what to do next. And I guess the question is, what's your goal here? And are you willing to take a certain risk with your milk supply?
And are you willing, if your milk supply does take a hit, to do what you need to do to get it back to where it was? Because that's going to take a little bit of work. It's not impossible. But if you're already having a little supply issue, I would venture to say it might be easier to toggle your milk supply right now than it would be later after you've already introduced formula. You know, so if it's like, if money's also kind of an issue, why don't we just spend 3 days getting your milk supply up and troubleshooting your pump? You know, like, don't buy trouble if you don't need it. But then again, if your milk is highly regulated and your baby's a year old, go for it. Yeah, switch to AM, PM feeds. It just kind of depends on what your goals are.
Yep. And unfortunately, we just can't predict the future there.
But thanks for your question. And feel free always to email us if you would like your question or when or firsthand account read. Our email is milkminutepodcast@gmail.com. Maureen, did you know that my love language is deluxe size beauty products that I can squirrel away to my bathroom and rub on my body and smell good and feel like $1 million?
Oddly specific, but I actually did.
Yeah, it's a situation at my house, and I'm not that ashamed of it. I'm proud of it, and I'm going to tell you today that I support Glossybox.
Well, lucky for you, for your next birthday and probably for Christmas too, you're going to get a beautifully wrapped, lovely little box containing 5 deluxe-sized beauty products delivered directly to your doorstep from me from Glossybox.
Yeah, but how do you know that they're any good?
It's really going to be filled with 5 makeup, hair, and skin products from top brands.
And it's different every month, right?
Yeah. It's packaged with love by their in-house beauty experts and delivered to your doorstep every month.
Oh my gosh, that just like tickles me pink and I'm so excited about it.
Well, if you guys at home want to try Glossybox,
you can get $10 off a 3-month subscription by following the link in our show notes and join me in rubbing on all the creams and smelling all the smells and using all the best hair products.
So use the link in our show notes to get your discount at Glossybox today. Okay, so let's maybe hop into this a little bit. What do you think? Are you ready, Heather?
Hop.
Okay. Okay, great. Bottle feeding. So let me just start out by saying this is a personal choice. If you're going to directly feed your baby from your body, if you're going to pump and exclusively bottle feed, or if you're going to do a mixture or whatever.
I would argue that it's a choiceless choice in our society.
Sometimes.
So if you have to work, you got to work. And chances are pretty good, unless your baby's excellent with cups, you're going to be bottle feeding.
Right.
So maybe it's a choiceless choice. Either way, this is what it is.
Yeah. But I did want to start out with that because people love to think that it's their fucking business and just tell you lots of interesting BS about it. Why they think you should bottle feed. And that's
like, I'm so glad you're bottle feeding. Right. Like, way to take charge of your life. And you're going to have so much more independence.
Yeah. My husband, who is a staunch feminist, absolutely loves to rant about how, like, pumping is presented as this, like, very feminist, like, freeing thing when it's really not and it's total bullshit. And he just, like...
Yeah, you can be as independent as you want while plugged into that wall.
Right, when really, like, the most feminist thing would be to give people the opportunity to just, like, stay home and feed their babies if they want to.
Yeah, if they... While maintaining their life.
Right.
That's the whole key.
Right, anyway, you can talk to Ivan about that if you're curious. He has a lot to say. But in that vein, the first myth that I want to tackle is that bottle feeding is more convenient.
Oh, my. This one is such a good one.
Haven't you heard? Like, I think everybody has had some toxic person in their life just be like, why don't you just give them a bottle?
At least at night.
Right.
To
it's
give yourself
more convenient for me. And you're like, but you're not. Wait.
The at night thing is what kills me.
Oh, yeah.
At night? You have to get your ass out of bed to go get a bottle.
And warm it?
Warm it. And, like, wash it afterwards.
And then, a lot of times, then you have to pump after.
And then what if your baby doesn't take it all, and then you've wasted some of it?
It boggles my mind how people think that is more convenient. Now, again, I'm not bashing bottle feeding in this episode. But I'm being super real about it, that when I come home from this recording day, there's going to be a mountain of dishes from just feeding my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have used 2 separate pumping situations while we're out here. And then 100% my husband's going to use like 6 bottles, like separate bottles, you know, while I'm gone. And oh, maybe he like used some of the milk in the freezer in the reusable containers that need to get washed. And it is a dish disaster.
It is a dish disaster. And then if you accidentally registered for more than one type of bottle, then you're tired and trying to find the nipple that matches the ring that matches the bottle, then you're like, oh my God, is there not 3 pieces that goes together?
No, we use so many different kinds of bottles because I just bought like 1 or 2 of each that I was interested in, wondering like, what would my baby take? And she takes all of them, which is great.
That's nice.
But then we have that problem.
Yeah, that's nice.
Where I'm like, oh no, so I have the glass base for the narrow nipple and I can only find the wide nipple. And where is it? Did it fall behind the drying rack? Like,
right. Or this one's clean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it'd be easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what happens too. Like, I know my husband and I would do the same thing. Like, looks at the bottles in the sink, looks at the bottles on the shelf that are clean. and is like, this baby is crying. Am I going to wash a bottle? No, I am not.
No, I am not. Yeah, I just wonder how much actual time washing, storing, pumping, warming, like how much additional time in addition to the mm-hmm. feeding time it actually is and how much that adds up over the course of a year.
I mean, I'm going to tell you what, though, when I get home, it's going to take me at least 20 minutes to do all the dishes, if not 30. Then it's going to take me 10 minutes later after they're all dry to put them away. And then this whole day that I've been gone, I'll probably have spent, let's see, I power pumped in the car on the way here. So that was about an hour total. And then I've already pumped twice that I've been here. So that's another 40 minutes. And then I'm going to pump another time before I leave. So it's like another 20 minutes. And then I'm going to power pump on the way home. So like
over 3 hours.
Right. Of my time just for like daytime work, you know.
But then there are some people that are going to be like, yeah, but you could pump and do other things at the same time.
Great.
So it doesn't count. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's still work.
It's still work. It's still inconvenient to me. And it still sucks that then I have to go home after all that and wash all that stuff. Yeah. And then if you're doing that in the middle of the night, too, like, I'm sorry, you're not getting more sleep unless somebody else is doing that.
There's research about that that shows that if you are breastfeeding, you're more likely to be woken up more frequently at night, but you are also more likely to get better quality sleep.
Mm.
So although your infant is waking you more, you're getting better quality because you're not actually, the speculation is you're not standing up going to get a bottle.
Right.
You're not as awake as you would be if
even
you just
if
rolled
your
over
baby
to breastfeed.
Isn't a crib if you just get up, grab them, and sit down.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The amount of time that you're like up standing and like getting things ready is reduced. So mm-hmm. that helps your sleep.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that rolls into our next myth really well.
Ooh, tell me.
Is that a baby who drinks from a bottle is going to sleep longer and subsequently you get more sleep.
Mm.
So first of all, research has shown no link between sleep and how we feed our babies. So whether that is directly breastfeeding, whether it's bottle feeding expressed milk or bottle feeding formula, babies just sleep when they do, regardless. It's developmental.
What if you cram a bunch of cereal in their bottle and do a little cross-cut tip of the nipple and then force feed them oatmeal?
Then they're going to throw up on you.
I mean, wake you up in 2 hours from excessive gas and
bloating. Listen, some parents come to us and say, you know, when I give my baby a bottle before bed, instead of breastfeeding them, they sleep a little bit longer. And I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying when we collect data from large amounts of people, the trend does not tell us that that works for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And whether we do breast milk or formula, regardless of bottle or whatever, it doesn't matter. Babies sleep the amount that they sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
And if we are feeding expressed milk in bottles at night, like we said, you still have to get up, get the bottle, warm the bottle, and then most likely pump at night, unless your baby is much older.
Right. And also, just as an aside, and research is still pending on this one, but if you direct breastfeed at night, you're more likely to pass on your melatonin in those first 12 weeks because babies can't make their own melatonin until 12 weeks of age. So by direct breastfeeding, you're actually helping them get that melatonin. Not saying if you're exclusively pumping that that's never going to happen for your baby. It's just that is something we do know happens with direct mm-hmm. breastfeeding. So if you're looking for a solution to get your baby to sleep better, quicker, it makes more sense to share your sleep hormone melatonin with them.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know. For some reason, Americans are obsessed with their babies sleeping.
It's because we're busy. We got stuff to do. We got to wake up in the morning and go to boardrooms and dominate the world.
Yeah, it just, like, there are some other cultures that really push, like, sleep training. But really, this is a super American thing. Like, your baby needs to cry it out and sleep through the night by 6 weeks. What?
I would say that that's one of the top questions that people ask you when you first emerge in society postpartum.
Oh, what is
are
that
they
about?
Sleeping? How are they sleeping?
Is it a good baby?
Yeah, do you have a good baby or a naughty baby who wakes up all night?
I know, and you're just like, first of all, your baby voice makes me want to punch you in the nose.
You poor thing. Second of all, is she keeping you up all night? You poor thing.
And yes, I am all about expressing empathy and sympathy for new parents who are not sleeping a lot. It sucks. I am still not sleeping a lot with a 7-month-old. I get it. However, I think we do better to normalize that and say, oh, you know, yeah, like I really understand. That's very hard. You know, I, you know, remind them that it's temporary. It will not be like that forever. And in the meantime, say, hey, you know what? Like, do you think I could support you in getting a nap today? How about I do the laundry while you nap?
Yeah. Is there something I can do to help you? Not just like, sucks for you. You got a bad one.
Right.
My baby. Oh, and then they have to follow with a story.
My baby slept was sleeping through the night at 2 days old.
No, by 8 weeks, sleeping through the night, I'll tell you what you got to do. And then they give you their magic recipe for sleeping through the night, and it's probably wrong.
It's probably wrong. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah, it just, I don't know. I think having realistic expectations for parents serves them a lot better than to tell them lies.
Even if they're things that you find to be true, they might just be true to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just here. I'm coming out into this recording session after having a very sick infant who coughed herself awake probably every 20 minutes all night for the last 3 nights, you know? And like, yeah, did I think we were out of that waking pattern? Certainly I did. Then guess what? She got sick. Who knows? Like, it could have been a growth spurt. It could have been some other thing, right? It's going to keep happening. Kids are like that, you know? And it's okay. And we just need to accept that it's going to happen, do our best to support parents through it. If they want to sleep train, awesome, but like make sure we're using like methods with good research, not just some random person you found on Instagram. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What's next?
Okay. So next is that if we bottle feed and we know exactly how much baby eats, we will not have issues with weight gain.
Oh, yes. Oh, this one is deep.
Yep. And really, how many times have I had clients come to me crying about having to exclusively pump? And I'm like, I'm sorry, why are we pumping? And they're like, oh, my baby's doctor told me I should so that we could track how much they eat.
This is where I guess weighted feeds come into play.
Which I also don't love.
Which I don't love, but also kind of like if you have a pediatrician that's really digging their heels in and needs proof that your baby is adequate, I guess a weighted feed could be a good solution in that scenario.
Let's table weighted feeds for a minute. Let's talk about them in a minute. Okay. I just want to start out by saying that tracking how much baby eats is no guarantee that we're not going to face growth issues, okay? Because you can't force a baby to eat more than they want to, right?
But you can try.
You can try, and they're probably going to vomit it back up.
It's stressful also.
Yes.
By the way, like if you try to force feed a NICU baby, it's very stressful.
Like,
and actually, the research shows that bottle feeding is much more stressful for NICU babies than breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And when babies are stressed, all of the other important bodily functions that they're supposed to be doing,
like
decline. Metabolizing
food.
Exactly.
And creating energy out of it and using that energy to grow.
Because when you're stressed, your GI system has blood directed away from it.
Yeah, digestion shuts down. So we want to reduce stress while eating. And if bottle feeding stresses your baby out and they are perfectly happy to breastfeed, maybe consider that.
Yeah.
I also want to say, like, it doesn't matter how many ounces you put in a bottle. If your baby's done, they're done. You know, if they're going to eat 1.5 ounces, putting 3 ounces in a bottle doesn't change that.
Yeah, I hate that. It is not good to the last drop.
No.
This is not a finish your plate scenario. This is like you should be bottle feeding on demand, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
And most of the time when we see weight gain issues for a newborn, it's not necessarily because you're not making enough milk. You know, sometimes they aren't transferring enough milk because they have a weak suck. They have poor oral functioning. Maybe they get too tired while they're feeding. I mean, and these things don't just get solved by bottle feeding. Sometimes it might kind of be like a Band-Aid if we're making it easier for them to eat. They might eat more, but they might not. You know, and then we have factors like illness or gestational maturity to factor in. I mean, there's just there's a lot that goes into newborn growth.
Yeah, I mean, think about, we just ate the exact same lunch. Yeah. That's going to hit us differently.
Yep.
Fact. Mm-hmm. Fact. I mean, of course, we are mature. Our bodies are mature. But your metabolism can change.
Mm-hmm.
Babies' metabolisms are different.
Mm-hmm.
Boys, statistically speaking, have higher energy requirements. How they eat and metabolize can be different than the girl baby that you had the first time. So you also can't compare one baby to another baby. So yeah. Like, oh, my daughter used to eat this much, and my son, I'm trying to give him that much, and it's just, he's always hungry. I hate that one, too. Yeah. Can I put that little blurb in there with this one? It's when are like, how much is he eating? And you're like, first of all, why?
Why do you care?
Like, we're at the grocery store. I ran into you, and I haven't seen you in years. Why are you asking me how much my baby eats?
Like, why are we? I mean, and the problem is we have a culture of bottle feeding. And that's why we even have these topics of conversation in the first place, you know? Like, we would not be talking about how much your baby is eating if we didn't have this prevailing culture of bottle feeding, because we wouldn't know, because
right.
They'd all be breastfeeding. Yeah. So when people approach you with those kind of questions, feel free to not answer, first of all.
Just be like, oh, she's perfectly fine.
Yep. Sometimes I like to answer with something that is not even close to anything to do with that question.
Give me an example.
Well, if you're like, oh, how much are they eating? I'm like, well, she's pooping really well. And they're just like, what?
She's wetting adequate diapers. Right. So all like, good.
And so, yeah. Or you're like, you know what? I think she really likes the color yellow.
And they're like,
I'm sorry.
That's not satisfying to me. But now I realize how selfish I was in asking
that. I mean, it's just like... Because I'm not gonna answer that question, nor am I going to take the time to tell you the problems in that question. So I'm just gonna tell you what I feel like telling you. So I don't like any of that. And then I'm gonna circle us back to weighted feeds because I said I would. Here's my problem with weighted feeds, and here's why I like them. So my problem is that when we do a weighted feed in, say, a pediatric office, that is all we're doing, is we're just seeing how much baby ate one time and how much they ate in a new environment, possibly when their schedule is disrupted to get to that new place. So particularly if we have an older baby who's like 4 to 6 months and they're like, whoa, what's that over there while I give you Niplash? That's probably not an adequate representation of a normal feed for them. Okay. And then if we have a younger baby who has had their naps messed up in the car, maybe all they want to do is feed at the office because they feel uncomfortable because the lights are really bright and it smells weird. Like, we don't even know, like, is that feed over? Are they just cluster feeding? What's a feed? You know, like...
And time of day.
Yeah.
Like, I try to remind people of this. It's not what they got at that feeding. Mm-hmm. It's how much they got in a 24-hour period.
Exactly. So when I want to use weighted feeds, I send a client home with their scale, with my scale or their scale, and I have them do it from waking in the morning to going to sleep at night and just write it down and forget about it and don't overanalyze every number. And then send me all those numbers, and I can be the one to go through and be like, okay, here is our approximate total for a 12-hour period. And that gives us a much better and more accurate idea of whether or not we're transferring enough milk.
Yeah.
And yes, could we do that while bottle feeding and just tracking how much baby ate that way? Sure can. Is it going to solve all their weight gain issues? No.
That makes me wonder, because I just bought that $1,200 Tanita scale for my office because I feel as if it's an expectation that you have one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad idea to have one. I mean, first of all, it's really freaking accurate. And I like to get a weight on a baby.
Well, yeah,
and it's not all weighted feeds.
And like, you're going to have people coming back every couple of days for weight gain issues. It's a really good idea to have.
But I'm thinking, like, I wonder if I could rent it out. Not rent it, like, charge for it. But, like, let them take it home for 12 hours and bring it back.
I mean, honestly, Heather, I would get, like, 2 cheaper table scales. Like, the flat ones. I'll have to send you the one I have. It's good enough. Is it precisely accurate? No. But it's easy to use. And they can use it, like, on any changing table or whatever. And also, if somebody drops it and breaks it, you're, like, out $50 and not
yeah
whatever that thing cost.
A lot.
Yeah.
I was mostly like, for that a few failure to thrive babies that mm-hmm. I'm going to be working with, it would be so nice to make sure that it's like, oh, yeah, and we have a top of the line scale, so we can handle
this. Yeah, I think it's still a good idea, but if you do want to be doing like weighted feeds as part of an overall assessment, you might consider that.
Yeah, I like that idea way mm-hmm. better. And it also gives parents a little bit of autonomy, but with boundaries.
Yes.
Because I see parents go crazy with weighing their babies constantly and constantly mm-hmm. doing weighted feeds. And you're like, whoa, this isn't even necessary.
Well, yeah. And if we're doing that and because like whatever intervention we're doing isn't working, then like we have to reassess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready for another one?
Number four?
Yeah. If you bottle feed, it will automatically be easier to be separated from your baby. And baby will have a better bond with their dad.
Oh, yeah.
Or other
this
parent.
This one is really hard.
I know this is a hard one to pick apart, and that's kind of why I picked it. Because I was like, you know what? Myth episodes sometimes are a little short. We can take a little time to pick this apart, right? So let me just start out by saying, if your baby is used to getting bottles, will it be easier to leave them with somebody else and have them be fed by them? Probably. However, we still have babies who have preference for their caregivers. A lot of people come to us saying either their babies will not take a bottle from anybody else, or they will only take a bottle from their dad, or turns out when they leave them with, you know, Aunt Nancy for the day, actually she doesn't know how to bottle feed right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also has nothing to do with separation anxiety.
Mm, yeah, that's a good point. Which 9 months, by the way, is when that
uh-huh.
starts.
And I was going to say, we're looking at 6 to 12 months there.
Yeah, 9 months is hardcore, where it's like you try to take that baby from mom and they're like, oh, my God. Or classic, you go to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
You turn your back on them and they start crying. And
you see
like,
their little fingers coming under the door.
You're like, I'm literally still here.
Yeah,
it's
I
just
pooping.
I turned my back
I'm just
on
pooping.
You. You couldn't see my face and you freaked out.
Right. So whether or not your baby is directly fed from your body or fed from a bottle is going to have nothing to do with that. That happens whether we formula feed, whether we use human milk.
And it sticks around well into the toddler years.
Yeah. Anyway, but bottle feeding your baby will not impact which parent they like more. Just like breastfeeding won't. Sorry.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of people think that if you feed your baby from your body, you're going to have this special bond that they never have with their other parent. You know what? For the first couple months, yes, the burden is mostly on you with that child. However, they are going to grow. They are going to be a separate person from you eventually. And that separate person might decide that they are obsessed with that other parent and want nothing to do with you except to fly by like booby every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, also, the time that they are on the breast most of the time is pretty short in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they also get plenty of? Bath time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're a father that would like to be, quote unquote, successful at fatherhood, you don't have to bottle feed to prove that you're good at being a dad. You can give the baths. You can wash the pump parts. You can do tummy time.
Mm-hmm.
You can take them on walks. You can baby wear. There's a bajillion other things that kids do day to day that you could
even newborns.
Join in on.
Even newborns. And what we have learned from our interview with Abigail.
Mm. Abigail Tucker, Mom Jeans, great book.
Is that really when we have a non-birthing parent, the burden is on them to put the time in to change their brain chemistry so that they can be a better parent.
Yep. The more you do, the more you bond.
Right. And if all you do is bottle feed and nothing else, I don't know. Is that enough time? Who knows? Probably not.
That's almost like scheduled feedings
right.
and how they cause supply issues. It's like if that's the one way you're participating, you don't get to fly a flag and be like, look how amazing I am. I bottle fed. Like, do some other stuff.
Exactly. And I have to say, like, if bottle feeding were the key to secure attachment with our parents, we would not be successful as a species. Okay?
Ooh.
Because we have only been bottle feeding for a very short amount of time in human evolutionary history.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, and while I acknowledge that for probably a large portion of time, we maybe did not have the father of babies necessarily having such a secure attachment with their offspring, it is not like the advent of bottles and formula that created that. It is simply them spending more time and putting in more effort.
Wow. Just being around, not
yes,
being in the woods or
there.
Off fighting wars, like literally just existing yeah. with your child has probably helped.
Yeah. And yes, after all that, I will say if your baby can take a bottle, it is easier to be separated from them. But you can syringe feed, you can spoon feed, you can cup feed. If your baby is older than 6 months, who even cares about a bottle? Okay. So is it more convenient sometimes? Possibly. Does that mean you should do it? That's up to you.
Yeah, just don't do it under the pretense that, like, it's going to create some magical bond. Because
right.
it's not.
Nope. Okay, last one's going to be fun.
All right, number
okay.
five, mm-hmm. the fifth myth.
This one I hear pressure about a lot, is that you can bottle feed in public, so you should do that.
Oh, Maury, you did it. You really did it. Now I really have a headache.
Oh,
listen.
You're having flashbacks.
I just don't know how to help anyone with this at this point. We did a nursing in public episode just to give you a little bit more in-depth advocacy
yes.
for that, which you can find in the show notes. We'll link it down there so you can get access mm-hmm. to that episode. But at baseline, you can do whatever you want. You
yep.
can breastfeed in public if that's something you want to do. Please don't disrupt your entire life and your entire breastfeeding journey because you think you can't breastfeed in public. You never know till you try.
I mean, the reality is even, so it's legal to do in this country, just to be clear. Even if it wasn't, you could still do it and
yeah.
probably have no consequences because nobody's going to prosecute you for feeding a baby.
I mean, there might be social consequences like you make an old man at Cracker Barrel very uncomfortable.
Oh, no. Did
Poor
we break the
man.
Patriarchy again?
Did you ruin his eggs?
Aww.
Poor guy and his countryman breakfast.
But it's just like I think when people make that suggestion, it is very ignorant. Because they don't realize then if you're telling a lactating parent that they should just bring a bottle when they go out in public, they don't realize you have to pump when you feed a bottle.
And they don't realize how much that actually sounds like you're shaming them.
Right.
Like breastfeeding is dirty.
So they're like, yeah, just bring a bottle. And then, oh, you just go to that bathroom and pump while your baby eats.
I'll feed them the bottle.
Right. And you're like, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
What?
Thanks for causing that. For me, that whole confusing situation that could have been yeah. very easy.
Yeah. Now, if you want to bottle feed in public instead of using your body to feed your baby, that's fine. If it is personally more convenient for you, great. But it is not a suggestion we just give people willy-nilly.
Yeah. This is not any of your business.
No.
To tell people that they should bottle feed so they can do it in public so they won't be stuck at home all the time. Oh, if you're breastfeeding all the time, you'll just be stuck at home.
Mm-hmm.
No, I won't.
I actually had a conversation with a friend about this who was stuck exclusively pumping for a while. And she was just like, how do I leave with the baby? You know, she was bottle feeding and was just like, how do I even like bring milk and heat it and feed it? It would be so much easier if I was just back to the breast.
That's funny. Like she leaves the house just to breastfeed.
But, you know, like.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to bring.
Yeah. And, you know, I had to walk her through like, OK, here's some options for taking cold milk out and warming it on the go and cleaning bottles on the go and cleaning pump parts on the go. I mean, guys, it's a lot.
Honestly, it's a lot to formula feed in a bottle in public.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, this isn't us. I feel like this was more of us talking to people who feel compelled to give advice to people about bottle feeding.
Honestly, I feel like I just always want to step between the new parents and all the toxic people in their lives.
And the Maureen boundary.
And these myth-busting episodes are just that. That's like, I don't know you. Or your Aunt Karen. But if I did, I would just, like, put this episode between you guys.
Yeah, right. I hope this helps you guys. We really care about you, and we really want to make sure that every choice you make is supported and informed, and that there's no shame attached to any of your decisions. How can you feel shame if you're informed and you've decided and everybody's fine?
You are the only one who can decide if bottle feeding is more convenient for you. Okay. You are the only one who should be telling yourself to bottle feed.
And you can stop bottle feeding at any time.
Mm-hmm.
If you try it and then you're like, as it turns out, this isn't serving me, you can stop.
Yeah. It's not a one-way street. Oh, and you can do both. Yeah. It's not just bottle or breast. Like, I do both. Heather did both with her kids. It's totally possible. We can go into many more future episodes about that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I hope that helps you guys. Should we do an award?
Oh, yeah. I think I have one.
Hey, guys. Heather here with a very special message for you. I wanted to let you know that if you've attempted to breastfeed your baby even once or began pumping after an unexpected postpartum complication, you've taken the first step to a beautiful journey. I also want to let you know that you can breastfeed no matter what kind of labor you had, no matter what kind of baby you have, no matter what kind of job you have. There is a way to breastfeed that can work for you. The thing that I really want to get across here is that the fear of, what if I don't have what it takes to breastfeed? What if people think I can't do this? What if I fail? What if I can't do my job? What if I'm not enough? Here's the truth. Everyone has those thoughts. But some people push through and succeed at breastfeeding anyway. So what's the difference? Consistent support. Yeah, consistent support is the linchpin in the breastfeeding plan. Having support available to help you through the natural hiccups of feeding your baby is essential to decreasing that anxiety and making those doubtful voices in your head disappear. Throughout the pandemic, I've been accepting virtual private lactation clients to meet people where they are despite the crazy circumstances with COVID. At first, I honestly wasn't sure how it would go. But as it turns out, it was better than ever. I've decided to continue doing virtual consults and help people all over the world. As an IBCLC, I hold an international certification, and breastfeeding is a universal language. If you find yourself needing that personal support and would like to work with me one-on-one, you can schedule at your convenience at my link in the show notes or by going to breastfeedingforbusymoms.com/private-consultations. Let's get you to where you want to be with breastfeeding and start asking new questions. What if I succeed? What if I can breastfeed and do my job? What if you are enough? What if it works? We got this.
This week, I want to give an award to one of our patrons. I'm going to give an award to Maya, who is a new patron of ours. And she let us know that she is continuing to breastfeed her baby through the harrowing experience of having a breast abscess.
Oh.
She got mastitis a couple of weeks ago and is just trudging on through this journey. It sounds really hard, and we are super proud of you for moving forward in whatever way works for you.
Maya, that is rough. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you're continuing to breastfeed through that. It's actually really hard to stop breastfeeding when you have mastitis that bad because you don't want things to plug up even more and more infection to brew. I hope that you are seeing a breast specialist that knows what they're doing. If you don't feel like you do, get somebody else.
Yeah, and feel free to reach out to us again on Patreon. We would love to be there for you. Even if we don't have advice, we at least have sympathy.
Yeah.
And we just want to let you know that you're not alone. You're not the only one to go through this experience. And yes, it is very difficult.
Yeah. So I look forward to seeing you in our live Q&A and checking up on how you're doing.
Yeah. And what award are we going to give Maya?
Maya, we're going to give you the Obsessively Awesome Award.
Oh, I hope that makes you laugh as much as it's making us chuckle and you appreciate our pun.
Knee slapper.
Anyway, puns can get you through the hard times,
they
right?
They sure can.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you once again for tuning in to the Milk Minute Podcast.
The way we change this big system that is not set up for breastfeeding parents is by educating ourselves, our friends, and our children.
If you found value in this episode today or any others, you should consider joining us on Patreon.
For as little as $1 a month.
You can access all kinds of extra perks, behind the scenes footage, exclusive merch, live Q&As, all those good things.
But if you don't want to pay for it, you know what's free? Sharing our episodes with a friend. And we would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks and goodbye.
Goodbye.
It's a Knick Knick.